board.
I gotcha.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that first producer guy, I think he had spent his years watching Trebek and, you know, knew the way to handle the show. And so I think he will be fine. Fine, just fine.
That's good. I'm glad they settled on someone.
As long as it wasn't the worst host of all time, Katie Couric.
I never went and saw. I like her doing interviews, but I totally believe you. She was bad at Jeopardy.
Oh, my God.
I should go and watch it just to see how bad.
It was real bad.
I got to open a channel.
I never saw the Dr. Oz one, so I'm assuming he could have been worse, but I did not watch Jeopardy. Yeah.
Have you seen any episodes with the most recent champion?
The guy who says what's for everything?
I realize that that's totally legal, but
it's infuriating, though, isn't it?
It's super irritating.
When you use the word, when you say what's and then add a person's name instead of saying who is? Oh, brutal.
Yeah, that should be disqualifying.
This person is the worst Jeopardy host of all time. What is Katie Couric?
Boy, he rocketed really fast up the all-time money chart, though. He was like number 9 on the all-time winner chart like a week and a half ago.
Sweet. He's on the move.
So, Ian, did you ever watch The Chase?
Yeah, I watch it regularly.
Did you watch Sundays?
I didn't watch that one yet.
Okay, there was a larger, like, British guy sitting in with Ken.
Who, the Beast?
Is that who? I don't know who that was.
Yeah, they added the Beast. I thought you knew the Beast. Didn't he used to do sports trivia? Didn't you introduce me to the Beast?
I did not recognize this British guy.
Oh, I thought he was super good at sports trivia. He was on a show called Stump Somebody.
Stump the Schwab?
Yeah, isn't that him?
No, because the Schwab wasn't British.
Oh, no. Okay. He reminds me of the Schwab. He's just a British dude that knows some trivia.
Okay. It just slightly pains me that I can watch Jeopardy, see people who know a gajillion amount of things win, like, you know, $1,200 someday. The three people on Sunday's episode won $660,000. They smoked Holzhauer in every event.
Wow.
Like
James is usually pretty good.
Yeah, he never got close to them on the money building parts.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first lady got up and she got 10 for, so that was, you know, whatever, 100 grand or something. And
right.
She moved it up the board and they offered her 300 and some thousand.
Ooh.
And then she smoked him down the board for 300 grand.
That's awesome.
The low person, I think, got 98,000 of the three.
Wow.
So they played
good for them.
Yeah, they played for 660. I think he got within 4 or 5 answers of catching them, and he got like 3 wrong. So he had a chance, but he blew it.
That's a good show. I don't dislike that show.
I hadn't watched it in a while, so it was good to watch.
I've watched a good number of both seasons now.
I forgot I was going to ask Samurai what the deal is with the Black Widow on the graphic. I don't know what that is. Do you guys know?
Where am I looking?
I got to pull the graphic back.
The crash, yeah.
Oh, she's suing Disney.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson has sued Disney for
all the money
breach of contract because they released Black Widow on premium access at the exact same time as the movie came out in theaters.
Oh,
her contract called for exclusive, you know, theater release.
Right.
And her paycheck is tied to the results of theater sales. So since a lot of people stayed home and watched it on Disney, she's not getting that money. There was some, I saw somebody put a number that they expect that she could possibly lose up to $50 million.
That's worth suing over.
I would think so. And some other actress.
I haven't seen any of the projected numbers, and I don't know what her contract looks like because it's not my contract.
Right.
So.
Yeah, this is just all rumor talk of.
Right, right. I mean, as far as I know, she already collected the $20 million that she got up front for doing the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know where people would generate those numbers.
I got me.
I don't know about you. I mean, again, I travel in a really small, very liberal circle. I don't know who's going to the movies.
Right.
I don't know who these people are or who she thinks they are. And I'd be stunned if she doesn't get a cut of the Disney access money.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know. I saw some story that claimed her agent had reached out to Disney to renegotiate and they told her to stuff it. So
maybe. But I mean, this will, I don't know what this will do. Maybe this will, we'll see which way it goes. Maybe everybody will start now. Maybe they'll get sued by The Rock and.
One of the other women,
what's her name?
Female actresses.
Jungle Cruise.
What was the last show before?
Emma, what's her name from Cruella?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. She apparently is contemplating suing now as well.
Sure.
No, Samurai, movies never make a profit. That's how they never have to pay actors. Movies always take a loss. All right. Do we have anything to talk about before we go live? It's already 9:07.
Do you mean like the extra ones or?
No, there's always a joke. And it's one of the really big movies of all time. the actors have, that they always claim that the studio always claims that the movie hasn't made a profit yet, so they don't have to pay the actors part of the percentages on their contracts.
Okay.
Like one of the like biggest movies, like, you know, it's not Lord of the Rings, but it's some movie of that scale. Right. We're like, still hasn't made a profit yet. Sorry. They're like, it's like the third highest grossing film of all time. Yes, it's made a profit, you chumps. I don't know. It was really expensive to make. Yeah, there you go. Jedi's never made a profit of the, you know, $500 million it's earned. Hey, you know, they had to fund all that stuff with Hasbro or something. I don't know. It costs a lot of money. Anywho, are we ready to just go then?
Yeah.
It appears the channel's full of people that I didn't notice until right now.
Yeah.
As long as the old man's here, we're good to go. He's my hero. Yeah. All right. Greetings, true believers. Welcome to the 304th episode of the Puzzle Warriors. I'm Craig. We got E. We got Ray. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. This is the week of the 4th, the 11th, and the year that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. Soon everything will be shut down again because that's how things are going.
No, there won't be. There won't be a shutdown. We'll just be normalizing death from COVID. That's,
Well, I don't.
That is the correct answer.
Choose not to die. Like, I'd really rather not.
Yeah, be nice.
So I would prefer the lockdown part.
you can treat yourself to a personal lockdown.
Well, no, I can't because I have to go to work. But
oh, right.
I only get to not go to work if they tell me I'm allowed to not go to work. Anyway, in the 5-day 4-star crash. That was a big crash. First, we had Scott versus the Hulkbuster. Did you Scott your way to victory?
Sure.
Yeah.
I know you answered that real quick in a positive manner. Let me tell you how I got totally destroyed on my first attempt.
Oh, I did too, but my second attempt went great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Hulkbuster, don't underestimate.
Well, yeah, you can't let him stock up on red, because then you're getting that punch, and that punch is going to, you know, it's going to wallop you.
Right, or if you accident. Or in that same tone, don't let him stock up on black.
Oh, good point.
Because then he's stocking up on red.
Yep, right. Yep, you're correct.
Yeah, I'm making all the red matches, and yeah, he did exactly that. He snuck in a bunch of black, and all of a sudden he grew big and punched me in the face, and that was it for Scott.
Grow bigger. coming up number next on the 5th is Lizard versus someone who has to be a Spider-Man of some flavor, right?
That can't possibly be Lizard.
That seems the most likely.
Oh. Oh, did I look at the graphic wrong?
Right.
Oh, that's Scorpion.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
I totally get the confusion.
It's Scorpion versus something. It's got to be a Spider-Man. Who else is going to fight? Yeah, they're all the same.
I agree. Scorpion should be fighting a Spider-Man.
Green things with a tail. What are you going to do?
But maybe he's fighting himself as One Star Venom with both of them as a Colossus Fastball special team up.
Maybe he'll fight Lizard. Then I would be both right and wrong at the same time. All right.
He's really him strong. And Lizard, so...
him and Lizard versus Cable and Bishop in a match that will confuse Craig for the ages.
That's true. That should be a good point. Who are these people? Why are they fighting each other? Why is it all mirror matches? I don't understand.
So Scorpion's really strong. I don't know. It depends on who he goes up against as to whether or not it's possible with a 2-1-1.
Oh, right. I'm not optimistic for my chances.
Yeah, not really. But
and then on the 10th, we got good old Rogue fighting Creepy Bobby. I'm sure you can Rogue your way to victory. Just don't get frozen.
Oh, sure. I'll try my best. I'm getting close. I didn't realize how close I was getting. I should probably favorite her and finish her off.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
In Storyland, we got Web Wonder. That'll get you Star-Lord, Pirate Cave, some Odin Shards. Placement is Baby Groot with some Null. Hearts of Darkness adds Ragsarok. Ragsarok? Whatever. Rags to that list. Placement there is
Rags to Riches Rock.
That's right. Placement there is Thanos and Ronin. And then Deadpool versus, again, Thanos, Ronin. Placement, I think it's Lizard that time. Who knows anymore? And some Hella Shards. There's some Hella Shards right there. The Open Your Mind Quaid season is running. In the simulator, you're getting Switch, Johnny Storm, and Pirate Kate. Right now, you got Weapon Tex-Mex running. Get you Deadpool, Shuri. Placement is Silk and some Phoenix Shards. Ian, you sit down. We got a clue in the release 233 here.
I am now sitting down, yes.
Okay. This week's clue is of unknown provenance. To me, this means the same as, you know, from places unknown, which clearly means it's Andre the Giant, right? When he first came onto the scene, I think he was one of those first wrestlers that was booked as being from places unknown.
I did not know that he was from places unknown.
I don't know. Eventually he was from France. I don't know. We come from France. Maintain low tones. I don't know. Unknown background. So that could be a lot of people.
Yeah.
Is it a four or a five?
Four, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, provenance tends to be a French word, so we might get that stupid French kickboxer guy finally.
Do we have no idea what his background is? I'm pretty sure TJ Arthur does.
Yeah, I don't know. French kickboxer. What do you want? So, I don't know. Unknown provenance. There you go. Mm. I don't have a good quest, good guess.
No.
Yeah, that's a really...
Yeah. You got something? No.
No, no. It's I wasn't even sure. I don't even have a good guess. I have no idea.
Yeah. What else they saying? Odin is, you know, shows up at some events now. Log in on the 14th to celebrate Free Comic Book Day with a 4-star surprise. So that'll be nice of them. Additional notes. Tapping on a feature character now opens the character info screen. A toggle has been added to the options menu to enable or disable that dimming effect that some people dislike.
Oh.
Unlocking a new character now displays the star rating of the character and includes other visual changes. The pop-up screens when receiving rewards have a new visual refresh. I noticed those. I don't know. They seem sparkly to me now. I don't know what that means, but they pop more. Fixed an issue where Electro, Volts, Bolts, and Jolts will still activate with no effect if there are less than 3 red tiles on the board. Fixed issues where the support icon was incorrectly visible in team selection under specific conditions. And fixed an issue where the level up button remained inactive after leveling up a support to its max level. Remained interactive. There you go. So some fixes, another UI change, and a new character on the way.
I saw a whole bunch of people really enjoying the option of turning off the dimming.
Yeah, it never really bothered me, so I didn't touch it.
Yeah, I agree, but hey, making everybody happy.
There you go. Doesn't affect me, so great. More power to you. If you like to turn it off, knock yourself out. I don't know. What else is in the news? That's pretty much it in MPQ news.
There were actually a couple things from Perondiac.
Oh.
Oh, hit me.
Little local news?
Yeah. Local news number one. The Arboretum's parking lot was closed on July 19th, and visitors now have to park at the Lewis Katz building for $1 an hour, causing much crying online.
True story.
That seems reasonable. Why would they do that?
Apparently, there is a new $85 million, 71,000 square foot Palmer Museum of Art that's going to be built beside the Arboretum, and... no new parking lot.
Yep. And this giant new museum, Ray, I think I saw, I don't remember what the number was exactly, but it's something like this. So they can go from displaying 2% of the art that Penn State holds to 5% of the art that Penn State holds.
There you go.
So thank God they're spending all that money instead of like lowering tuition or something to display more art, you know, like 3% more art. It's crazy.
I agree. That's a huge amount of art. The Palmer needed to be redone.
I've never been in the Palmer Museum, I don't believe.
I was in it once when I worked at Penn State for a reason. I've never gone there, you know.
So, local news number two, and I don't know if we mentioned this before.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've talked about it, but maybe not on the show. The building for the Home D Pizzeria on South Atherton is going to be a marijuana dispensary by the end of the year. Yeah. Apparently, the building owners were trying to downsize the restaurant, but the dispensary needed more space, and the pizza joint just decided to take the dough. Get it?
Oh, sad.
That's from Perondiac. Don't blame me.
That is a sad, sad dad joke right there. Hey, Ag Progress Days is next week. There, you got that for local news. It'll make it.
How about some national
news? It'll make it so I can't get to or from my house for 3 days. So that's always fun.
Right. That is nice and inconvenient. Did you guys see that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are trying to buy Casa Bonita?
I did see that. It made me laugh.
That made me so happy.
I had not.
Yeah, they are in early negotiations to purchase the restaurant. So I hope that's successful. That's all I got.
All right. Hit me with your top three then, Ian.
Oh, no. The top three. All right. This week is odd because the category we chose is
one
top three Japanese anime.
Things we know very little about.
And like we kind of jumped on it and we got it really going early. As far as I know, none of the three of us watch anime at all.
That's correct.
Wow. So I'm going to start, which will hopefully help get this thing going in a direction which I anticipate it going. Now, much like my co-hosts, I'm a very old man and I don't watch anime. So if that gives you an idea of where my list is going, I'll start you off with my number three. My number three is Akira. Akira was probably the first anime I ever watched, and to this day remains one of my favorites.
Sure.
Yeah, I like a post-nuclear Tokyo.
Nuclear.
Motorcycle gangs. It had everything. So, yeah, it really got me off on the right foot, but somehow anime could not maintain my interest. So I don't know if that says anything good or bad about Akira, or just that I'm flaky. So there. Craig, what do you have for a number?
All right, I will start by saying that most likely the things on my list will make anyone who is actually an anime very sad, because they're going to claim that none of these are really anime, but I'm going with it anyway.
That's fine.
So, you know, again, I am old and I like things that are old. Yeah. My number three is give me the original Voltron with the lions.
Sure.
That was based on, you know, it was some Japanese anime that got, you know, English dubbed and blah, blah, blah. And there you go. Ugh. I like me the lions.
That totally counts.
Yeah, I absolutely get where you think people would be angry at that, because I think a lot of people don't include that as anime, but I think it totally qualifies. The style of animation counts. Is there. It's yeah.
All those people are
now the
mistaken.
Yeah, like the second series where they made it all the ships and boats and whatever, that was hot garbage. Right.
No, I didn't see any of that. I can't speak on behalf of it, but I think that's a totally legit thing to put on your list, and it was a good series. I feel like that laid the groundwork for a lot of other series as to then, you know, copy that formula.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many series beyond that had a handsome leader, a fat, strong guy,
dorky little
girl
guy
wearing the pink costume, a nerdy one, and a kid.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it also the only way to achieve victory. They always drew it out the whole show to do that.
You got to wait the entire show to form that blazing sword. You can't go straight
to blazing sword and cut down the enemy.
You can't go straight to blazing sword.
We're going
to
beat them this time with just the tiger
hey,
or the lion.
Sometimes, once in a while, you can shoot that, you know, Christian cross of doom out your chest, and that does a lot of damage. I'm not sure why it shoots across at you, but it does. You know, sometimes that does. You know, but yeah, in like 99.9% of episodes, you got to wait until you can pull that sword.
Right.
You can't go straight to the sword. That ruins all the, you know, it's like, you know, fighting them right-handed.
I know. I'm aware of how something needs to be written. I was just saying, you know, surely you would learn by season three that we're not going to get this done until we form
I think he has to fight you for a while, and then he goes, all right, here's the thing. I am not left-handed. Here's the sword of my right hand. I win now.
All right.
So,
Ray,
this
help us.
Really transitions well into what I wanted to put on as my number three, but I was doing it kind of as a joke, because the most recent Rick and Morty episode was where Rick finds his fifth mechanical robot ferret, where that makes a giant guy who draws forth a sword to destroy the creature.
Nice.
And he talks the family into, you know, doing the whole thing and suiting up, and they go to attack and Morty's like, well, let's draw the sword. And he's like, you can't draw the sword yet. Come on. So anyway, I wanted to use that as my, but it's not anime. It's just a joke. But
sure.
So my number three, this was something that I kind of forced to watch. My housemate at the time was really into it. And yeah, Dragon Ball. I watched a decent amount of Dragon Ball. Way, way back in the early 90s.
I support you. It didn't make my list, but I also have watched more than I ever thought I would. It was just on at like an odd hour, and I would catch it every like Saturday or Sunday morning. And this was well into my adulthood, well after it had aired. I just thought it was, there were elements of the show that I found fascinating. I think there was one 30-minute episode that I watched where I want to say, and I don't remember any of the villains or can distinguish them anymore, but it was Cell or Freezer who spent 30 minutes of the 30-minute episode building the arena he was hoping to fight someone in.
Okay.
Like laying the foundation, mixing the cement, bringing in the chairs. That was a whole episode.
Wow.
Meanwhile, they spent like a quarter of a season charging up a spirit bomb.
Right.
It was one of the slowest shows I ever watched. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't say that.
Yeah, I totally support that.
I certainly haven't watched much anime, and so I don't really, I can't say that I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball, but it was entertaining. You know, it was on.
Yeah, it definitely was a show. So, my number two transitions pretty much right off of my number three. My number two, Vampire Hunter D.
Well, that's a good show.
Vampire Hunter D worked on every level. It was exciting. It was spooky. It was graphic. It was, I mean, it really, I was.
You got that hand with the mouth in the palm, you know, and it come, yeah. Yeah.
I am not quite so old that I was able to, I was never able to enjoy or exist in the 70s. So until I saw Vampire Hunter D, I didn't realize the potential animation had to be horrifying. You know, I would later come to discover that it was certainly not a pioneer in that field. You know, all the original animated Lord of the Rings movies and The Last Unicorn and anything they drew in the 70s that would get a G rating, it was, they were like, oh, it's animated, it's G rating. And then I'd watch it, I'd be like, this is horrifying.
Black Cauldron still rolls.
There was like a Raggedy Ann and Andy movie that I watched like probably 100 times on HBO when I was like 5. And, man, I go back to that. Yeah, it's some scary stuff. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, so absolutely. Vampire Hunter D, the original, was excellent.
Yeah, it was real good.
Greg.
Sticking with the theme, because I am old and deal with it. Number two is, you know, something that that came out when I was a kid, is when they, you know, took, I forget the name of the original Japanese show, but, you know, they slapped some English on it and told me they were calling it Robotech. And Robotech was amazing. The Macross Saga specifically, with Rick Hunter and Min Mei.
That's solid. Again, I support you. I don't hate any part of
that. I watched that so many times. So many times. I didn't enjoy the second one was what, the Invid? Or maybe the third one? I don't know which one. I didn't enjoy the one which was eventually what, their daughter or whatever had the flying motorcycles. Didn't enjoy the motorcycle one. Like, instead of having the big robots, they just had motorcycles that kind of turned into body armor. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
Okay.
I understand the words that you're saying. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like Robotech season 2 or 3 or 4. I don't know.
I recognize that Robotech was a thing. Yeah. I have no knowledge of it whatsoever.
Oh, the first, the Macross Saga, so good.
Okay. So, is it to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
My number two. Again, this was somebody watching it in the place where I lived, but I kind of got into it and eventually started paying attention to it, and it grew on me quite a bit. The original Pokemon. Yeah. I still play Pokemon Go, like, using knowledge that I gained watching that anime. So, there you go.
Yeah, the first couple of series, you know, yeah, you got the dude and you got Misty and, you know, Team Rocket. Those first couple of seasons are good.
See, I'm only now getting back around to those. So when Pokemon first gained popularity here in the States, and when I say gained popularity, I mean someone told me, Ian, there's a show you need to watch. It's a cartoon. It's called Pokemon. It comes on, like, Channel 53 at 6 in the morning. And I, you know, some things I did. I would get up, I would watch Freakazoid.
Yeah.
But it caught me at a really odd time because they were like, you got to watch this Pokemon. And then, like, a week later, I turned 21 and I was like, no chance. I will never watch another cartoon until my love affair with booze ends. And I never did. So I missed out on Pokemon. But, you know, I like Pokemon Go. My son's really into Pokemon now. And he is watching, they're all on Netflix, so he's watching them in reverse order. He has started with the newest series and working his way back to, I forget what the original series, Indigo League. So, yeah, with Brock and Misty, and I'm ready for that. That's a good choice, Ray. Thank you.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, my number one anime is none other than the series Cowboy Bebop. It is rare that I commit to an entire series and watch it all the way through. Cowboy Bebop was phenomenal. I love bounty hunters. I love space. Everything about that. All the characters were fantastic. I mean, it really, it was, it had me from the opening song all the way through to the final episode. It was, man, super good. I would, and again, as an adult, that's something I can easily recommend to anybody in any way.
Hmm.
So if Craig and Ray have never watched it, I would say watch it.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
It was pretty dope. It's good. You might even not hate it.
Okay.
Craig, what do you got to finish this out?
Well, obviously, my number one, for everyone who knows me, should know the answer to this instantaneously. And apparently, Bruce has never paid attention. Because clearly, the number one anime of all time, without a doubt, is always Speed Racer, will forever be Speed Racer. And the answer is always Speed Racer. I love me every second of Speed Racer. I'm one of the seven people in the world who enjoyed the movie. You know, the live-action movie. I've got, you know, the light thing from the arcade game is a light in my room, you know, right beside me here.
Oh, right, that they peeled off the...
Yeah.
The sign that they took off the game. Man, that live-action movie was so much better than it should have been.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, my gosh. And then seeing it in IMAX 3D, awesome.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, Ian and I saw it in the IMAX.
Yeah, nice job, Bruce. You're right. It was stellar.
Oh, we saw it in the IMAX, too. Yeah, it was really good in IMAX. I very much enjoyed it.
But yeah, the original series was excellent.
I love me Speed Racer. Now, the remakes they have done, all garbage.
I believe I've never looked into it. I like you watched the original series, not with quite the devotion you did, but I watched a lot of it as a youngster. It was really, really a good show.
And the Mammoth Truck episode is always, you know, good for watching.
That episode where he was driving the car that was the fastest car ever, and you had to spray yourself with something that made you super thirsty, and then if you drink something, you go spiraling out of control. That episode was scary.
Yeah, that car's called the Melange.
Yeah, that and Skullduggery. That guy gave me the
wheels. Yeah, the guy remote controls the car, makes his sister ride in it, and yeah, is that episode? Yeah, it's all good stuff. Lots of good episodes there. But yeah, you're thinking of the engine with the GRX. That's the GRX.
Yeah.
Yes, where you have to spray yourself with the stuff, and you know, because it goes so fast. Spray,
but you're super thirsty, and if you drink, you lose control of the car.
Because you're going too fast. It's going too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You realize how fast you're
going. Yeah. The Melange is the one where the guy made his sister drive a ghost car. Yeah.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
There's the one where they race through, like, what, they're in, like, Argentina or somewhere. There's a volcano exploding. And you got the serpent team.
Wouldn't that a race around the world?
Yeah, there was, like, the special team, and they're trying to, you know, always knock him off. And Racer X has to save his butt for always, you know, because that's what Racer X does for you. You know, good stuff.
That's what you do for your little brother. That's reasonable.
Totally good.
Okay, Ray, bring us home.
Okay. This will be quick and easy, because my number one was probably one of the only anime movies that I watched on purpose. Akira. You already mentioned it.
Nice.
I also really enjoyed Akira. And when you said top three anime, and my initial response was, ooh, it's because that's the first thing that I thought of.
Right.
So, yeah, Akira is my number one.
Nice. That was it. Yeah. That's fair. That's a great movie. Did anybody have any honorable mentions?
I do not.
I think I've seen like three anime. So.
Oh. See, I've seen some others and I've enjoyed them. The only thing that made it on my honorable mention list was, so here's an unnecessarily sidebar. When I was a young child, my grandma's apartment was right in front of my bus stop. So my parents would shoo me over there to sit quietly and watch a little TV while I waited for the bus to arrive. Well, and you know, no one really watched me because I was five and I could take care of myself, because that's how you treated kids back in the 80s. So I was able to watch whatever was on. And for a while it was Mr. Wizard's World and I was way into that. But I stumbled across a show called Transor Z.
Oh yeah, that was good.
It, not only was it good, but the female robot Aphrodite A shot missiles out of her chest.
She sure did.
And that changed my five-year-old life. I was like, I can't believe that's happening. It really, like, I was, not only did that happen in the show, but there was an episode where they were all swimming nude and they had to burn leeches off each other with a cigarette. Changed my five-year-old life. So for that reason, absolutely gets an honorable mention.
I thought about, do you remember the show Battle Over the Planets? It was also called G-Force.
I do not.
I enjoyed that show as well.
That was a good list. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ian, hit us up with some trivia then.
All right. I feel like perhaps last week I asked you about Peter Parker being on a field trip.
You certainly
Where did. They were on a field trip too? Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
According to Parandiak, they went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and he was right. They went to the MoMA.
That was actually now, in his listener comments as well. He said Peter Parker's class was headed home in the on the Ed Koch Queensborough Bridge after visiting the Museum of Modern Art. Assuming that they went to the main museum based on the camera angle in the film, one must expect that his class has been to the MoMA in Queens several times already. So,
oh, for sure. That sounds like a pretty standard field trip. Well, since that went so well, let's stick with some Infinity War trivia. So in Infinity War, when the Guardians of the Galaxy scoop up Thor early on in the movie, and he comes aboard their ship and talking about all his hardships and all the stuff that's going on, he is taking the time to explain what the Avengers are to the Guardians of the Galaxy to get a better understanding of what's going on. And in the middle of his explanation of what they are and who's involved, Mantis asks him if a famous actor is part of the team. Do you remember what actor she asked about?
Okay.
Parandiak does.
Apparently he just rewatches the movies before Ian's trivia to try and, you know, get something.
Right. But if you are not Parandiak, I will provide you the answer next time I do this show.
All right. Willie, what's in the mailbag?
Quite a bit. Apparently our Western conversation stirred people up. So let's start off with Heston Gixon, who messaged me because he didn't know when I gathered the mail. He said, I'm a little surprised that no one mentioned Maverick in their list, given that it had a pretty good dialogue and was overall pretty good.
It was awesome. It deserved to be on my list, but it's only a top three list. There were things that are better. I love Maverick. I've seen it countless times. Entertains me every time. Back before all poker was Texas Hold'em.
Right. It definitely is enjoyable, but at the same time, so there's a couple of poker things that are a little annoying in it, but it's a good movie, and I would never put it on a top three, like you said, so, yeah. Also, Ian, he said that if you are a big fan of Dances with Wolves, you should check out a movie called Last of the Dogmen. Most people I know who like one like both.
Okay.
Never heard of it before.
Nope, but I don't hate that. That advice, I'll look into it.
Stinkpalm said, no one has mentioned Cowboys and Aliens. It's incredibly good. No, it's not.
It's not that good.
It's not. There's no way the word incredible deserves to be there.
Right.
I understand you enjoy it, but no. he continued, now let me tell you a story. I love Tombstone so much, and my dad and I quote it back and forth. I'm your Huckleberry. That's just sure. My game. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
Sure.
Apparently he loves Doc Holliday. one day after a trip from North Carolina, my dad was getting luggage out of the trunk, accidentally hit himself in the head with the lid of the trunk. Immediately I said, check your ear, Creek. I couldn't stop laughing, and it diffused the grumpiness of him hitting himself in the ear. So... that's a deep cut. I would never have remembered that line, but yeah, that's pretty good. He also mentioned The Quick and the Dead isn't good, but it's fun. I would sooner...
Correct. I would rate it higher than Cowboys and Aliens,
right?
But similar quality.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It was amusing. I've watched it twice, so, you know, it wasn't that bad. he did say I would sooner choose Open Range as my third, and this was one that I've never seen, so I might have to put that on my list.
Oh, it's good. Is that the Kevin Costner and, oh, man.
It definitely is a Costner movie.
Tom from The Godfather.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
Duvall.
Duvall, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Yep, the female lead from An American President.
Annette Bening.
I can't think of her name right now.
Annette
Bening?
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie's dope.
I have not seen it, so I'll have to put that on my list.
For sure.
Groose said, all that bluster made me think that Craig was going to say City Slickers was his number one.
I have seen that.
Sure. I don't think it deserves a top three, though.
It's got, what's his name from Believe It or Not? That guy, Jack Balance, he's cool.
I do like Jack Balance.
Yeah, Jack Balance, good guy.
He also said, I'd stick The Good, the Bad, and the Weird as an honorable mention for me. It takes place in Asia, but if you don't mind subtitles, it's worth watching. I don't know that I believe that, but I haven't seen it, so.
I don't know if that's worth watching or not, but I love subtitles. I have trouble hearing. I keep the subtitles on when I'm watching The Chase.
Sure. It's transitioned off of Westerns for a minute. He also said that he learned something new. 3-star Punisher's Red will instantly down a character with low health, right? We all know that.
Yep.
But if another character jumps in front to take that damage, it will instead instantly down that character who jumped in front. Like Odin,
yes.
The ever-loving blue-eyed thing, Bishop. The character who jumps at front could be at 100% health. The way the game is coded, the Punisher's power means that the new character will be downed no matter what.
Correct.
Now that the PW3 is reporting it, I'm sure it'll be patched before we make it out of the synergy segment. I don't know that it needs to be patched. Like, it's a headshot, right? You jump in front, you get the headshot.
Yeah, I know. Patch isn't listening to the show, so they'll never notice.
Right. over to Brawny216, who said, no Wild Wild West for anyone's top three?
No. I walked out of that film. That was garbage.
The TV show is one of the best things ever. That movie was a giant piece of turd.
Yeah, that movie was... Ugh,
man, I love the TV show, and I was like, oh, a movie. Oh, movie's really bad. Really awful.
I don't think I hate it quite as much as Craig, whoa, but it's still on the don't like list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
The TV show was just so iconic and great.
He also said he would have Blazing Saddles, Buster Scruggs, and Open Range. So there's another vote for Open Range. One of the few serious Westerns that my dad would watch that I actually enjoyed watching as well. The whole final gunfight sequence is pretty great. So, yeah, another vote for that one. TNG Man 10. Top three Westerns? I would have to say Tombstone, as it was one of my favorites. I watched it all the time growing up. Growing up? It came out in 93.
Right. Torch has been passed, buddy.
I know.
Let it go.
He also says The Magnificent Seven is one that I will always watch and find myself going back to watch again. And when he said this, I'm like, oh, he means the remake. But then he continues and says, and for that reason, I have to put it on the list. I also enjoy the remake. Oh, okay. So he watched Tombstone growing up, but the original Magnificent Seven is on his list. All right. That's...
Well, Tombstone made a good impression. He wanted to continue to investigate.
Sure, sure. Third... He says that a personal favorite of mine, nobody else will mention it. It was a straight-to-TV Western Purgatory. It stars Sam Shepard, Eric Roberts, Randy Quaid, and Peter Stormare.
So, Ray, let me tell you this story about this show. It is fantastic. Because if I remember correctly, the Quaid brother was, I think he was Doc Holliday. And they come to this town, which is Purgatory, and Wild Bill and Doc Holliday and everybody are trying to redeem themselves, and there's a gang there, and they just let them run amok, and then finally stuff goes, it's super duper.
Huh.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Again, it's one of those shows where I'm like, I don't know how to rediscover it, but it was dope.
Apparently Randy Quaid plays Doc Woods.
Sure. I mean, that's his name in Purgatory, so you don't know who he was in real life.
Right, sure. I don't know. It looks interesting. Sam Shepard's fine. Eric Roberts is good. I'm assuming he's playing a villain again. Peter Stormare, I enjoy him and everything that I remember seeing him in. So
sure, I agree. It's worth watching if you enjoy a good Western or a good Purgatory story. A little bit of both.
I'm sure Craig has no idea who Peter Stormare is, but
I have no idea.
He recently played Chernabog in American Gods, and he was Lucifer in one of your favorite movies.
Right. Constantine.
Yeah, Constantine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered him in the top three segment not long ago.
There you go. Top three.
And by not long ago, I mean any time in the last
year. Yeah, we did top three top three Lucifers. Is that what we did?
Yeah.
He was real good.
All right, back to the Western list. UNC Samurai said he's disappointed there wasn't an honorable mention of Paint Your Wagon by Clint Eastwood. Big action scene is one of the funniest moments in cinema. See, I don't go to Westerns for funny, so.
Nope. Just Craig, apparently.
Yep.
And speaking of funny, Craig will be happy to know that I went and bought a copy of The Villain on DVD through the Puzzle Warriors Amazon banner.
Yeah!
To make a Christmas gift for his dad, so.
More power to you, that movie is solid gold. I love it so much.
Barandiak. Craig's Western picks. I'm surprised his number one wasn't Wild Wild West. And his other comment was for the game, Craig, and you're got to catch them all. I'm actually doing the same thing now because I hit 10K hero points, but I'm only at 244 characters currently. So I'm assuming you mean you're selling your one stars to get hero points? I don't know.
Yeah, no dice.
Finally, TDJ author says, Ian, I 100% agree with your comment about the Odin artwork. And 100% disagree with you about the Pirate Kate artwork. But since you're not Craig, I'll just consider the latter an aberration.
That's fine. I can accept that.
And, speaking of Craig, the villain sucks. I would ask that you please stop saying otherwise, but then I remember that Craig represents all that is rotten and decayed in this universe, and I realize I cannot ask that.
God, I love it so much. That film is fantastic. Unseen gem by too many.
All right, so there you go. We made it through the Western comments. Maybe we'll get a ton of anime comments this week. I don't know.
I'm sure we should get at least some people to tell us how horribly wrong we are.
Yeah, probably. All right, that's it. That's all we got. Thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Willie. All right, once again, then, I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just wanted to
pump. And we just wanted to pump.
You up.
You up. All right, let's see what we're doing here as far as boosted characters are concerned. Let me swivel and face the microphone, look at my computer.
It's Mr. Microphone.
Ooh, three-star Captain America. I love that guy. So, more damage from his red, and bigger projectiles from his yellow. Daken. Dokken. Daken. I'm going to stick with Daken, even if I'm wrong. Bigger strike tiles, more damage from his blue. Let's say does he heal?
Yes.
Yeah, better healing. Good for him. Gambit, more damage from his red power. I'm a little sketchy on what the other two powers do. One of them, I don't remember if it does anything anymore now that it doesn't generate AP, or does it still generate AP? I don't know.
I don't know what 3-star does, I couldn't do.
No one does.
Yeah.
Loki, one of my favorite guys. Absolutely unaffected by being boosted. And Sentry.
I don't think somehow the board shuffle takes even longer. I think that's what happens.
It would be amazing if it added another second of animation to the board shuffle. Oh, that's a great idea. I love that. And Sentry, his, let's say, strike tile is increased even further. More damage out of the green and more damage out of the red.
For Loki, I would think that if he were boosted, he should be able to do it quicker because he's more powerful, so...
Sure. Well, I just thought it would last longer because it's, you know, shuffling, it's more powerful.
I just thought it would be last longer just to irritate me.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like shooting fish in a barrel. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I like that. All right. 4 stars. Craig's favorite. Cable is boosted. His blue projectiles will be better and his damage will be greater. And his yellow projectiles will also be greater. The Black Panther, King of Wakanda style. Who was, until recently, the king of making fortified tiles, recently trumped by the Allfather. Let's see what he does now. He can still make bigger tiles. He can make better protect tiles, do a little bit of damage with his kinetic shield, and a little bit of damage with his tooth and claw. Oh, good old Moon Knight. A longtime favorite of myself and, I believe, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Good damage with those, with his green. Also decent damage with his black. His random purple, I mean, his striker attack tile is a little bit better, or the bit of damage that it does also a little bit better. Good old Venom. OG Venom. No, not OG Venom. Second Venom. OG Venom's the 1-star. I apologize, Venom. More damage with your green, and more damage with your yellow. And, ooh, Wasp, another good 4-star. Wow, 4 out of 5 is not bad. The Wasp thing does more damage. If they are foolish enough to match the buzzing sound, good old tons of damage. And when you're doing tile swapping and buffing, it'll strengthen them even better. All right, let's see what we're up to. I get it, and it's funny. There's a picture of Thanos for Cable, and we were just making fun of him for being forgettable and similar to other characters. I realize that's not why it's there, but It's definitely a Josh Brolin thing, but it still made me chuckle. I apologize. So Cable's boosted. His greed damage is going to be increased, and he will make more potent strike tiles with his yellow. Cyclops, the Phoenix 5 version, let's say. More red damage, and the other half of his yellow will create more damage. His Savior of Mutant Kind will do nothing new. Shadowcat, she is boosted this week. People seem to like her. She'll make bigger attack tiles. She'll make bigger protect tiles. And that repeater with her circuit breaker will deal considerably more damage. Another favorite of everybody's.
Yeah.
Good old five-star Thor. He will do a ton of green damage, a fair amount of red damage, and a good amount of yellow damage. He also makes protect tiles. So if that's why you have him on your team, you can enjoy that.
Yeah, you gotta fire that yellow twice, because that clubbing baby seals attack is really devastating.
Is there an animation to go with that? Why are we calling Raging Fire Club Baby Seals?
Because that's what I think of when I see him. When you fire that power off, he's got like this mace, and it looks like he's just coming out like clubbing some poor thing in the head. And that's what I picture in my head, is him just strolling over to a baby seal, and it's like cracking its skull open.
In Greg's defense, he is clubbing some poor thing in the head. However, he doesn't club baby seals, so yeah.
Not in Craig's defense. How dare you drag us into your head without our permission? Please let us out. Stop calling it that. Oh, man. All right. Maybe Samurai can help me out of this quagmire. All right. He is pumped because we can travel back in time to 2019 when Beta Ray Bill and Kitty, or Okoye and Thor, dominated PvP. With both Thor and Kitty being boosted, you can relive those glory days. Just remember, Half Thor is more likely to tank and take damage.
Yeah.
Just like last month. Four-star players are going to see a lot of Moon Knight and Wasp. I agree. But the four-star Bishop as well is a decent character, as is the King of Wakanda. Really, Eddie Brock Venom is the only person on this list that I saw and was like, maybe not.
I would say the Bishop and Black Panther are kind of like B characters. Moon Knight and Wasp, they're both really good.
Yeah, they're the best of the bunch. I mean, Venom was really the only, like,
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, recently reworked Bishop is nowhere near unreworked Bishop. So, obviously, I understand that. But, yeah, they're okay. They're good support characters. But, yeah, you're right. Moon Knight and Wasp definitely, float to the top of that pile. So, yeah, there you go. Listen to me now and believe me later. That's who's boosted this week. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
All right, let's head over to the team-up time.
Oh, no. Synergy segment featuring Ray.
Okay.
Sorry. Go.
Are you Are you in three-star land? Do you happen to be looking for a team for your three-star characters? Well, that's what you're going to get this week. I pulled this from a post on Reddit from Aware Progression. His three-star team was Doctor Strange, Ragnarok, and, of course, Iron Man 40, because most three-star teams are going to have Iron Man 40. So it's kind of straightforward. Obviously, Iron Man 40 is there for his recharge power. You make some yellow, and that'll generate you some red and blue. With your red, you're going to be using Ragnarok's red to deal damage and generate blue tiles. And then the rest of your energy is going to be spent on that blue for Strange stunning the whole enemy team, dealing damage while he does so, and draining AP. So it's a pretty straightforward team if you're in three-star land and looking for a team. It's like I said, straightforward. Recharge, pound with Ragnarok and stun.
Ragnarok, huh?
Yeah, and stun with Doctor Strange. This is... The other reason I picked it, this is the first time that Ragnarok has made a team up.
That's fair.
So
that's fair. Thunderclap is a cheap ability, and if you're using it mostly to generate blue, you've won me. You've won me over.
So that's part of the reason that I went with this, because I want to try and cover more of the characters. It's hard to do without getting a lot of repeats, but there you go. I suppose I should give you a build, right? Iron Man, you just want five yellow. I don't care about the rest. Doctor Strange, you got to have 5 blue. I would probably also do 5 in yellow because it's just, it's so nice.
Oh, yeah. I have Agamotto. It's pointless.
Yeah, I mean.
Compared to his other two abilities. Compared,
yes. And then Ragnarok is a 5/5/3 because you're not going to be using that blue. You're going to be using the Doctor Strange's blue, Crimson Band. So there you go. That's your team up this week. And thanks, as always, to Unify.
Unify. All right, let's go OG and open up some tokens. Hit it, Ian.
Sorry, I got lost. I didn't remember where the tokens live, but here we go. All right, Carnage. I remember him. He was good and remains good.
All right, I'm opening one.
Ray, you only have one.
Correct. And it is a 4-star. Creepy Bobby building the snowman.
Yeah.
I still have no Electro.
I got the Ocho to spend, so...
Do it, Doug.
1, Marika. 2, Electra. 3, Love Sausage. Hey, there's a purple one. Null, Summon Dragons. Oh, back-to-back purple. Ronin the Accuser, Uncompromising Power. Kardak, another purple. Wow, Null, Summon Dragons.
You're going to have all the dragons.
Number 8, John Rambo, the Sword Strike. So where does this get my, Null is now a, 3/3/2. He's progressing. Ronin is a 1/1/3. So there you go. That's more purples than I've got in a really long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was crazy. Thanks as always, though, to this guy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a cover for Electro so that I can, you know, participate in that node. That's been required. Can't get it, but man, my Ronin is shooting up to the top of the list of 5-stars. Nice. Every 5-star I get is a Ronin cover. But yeah, no Electro.
Ian, what's on the podcast network?
The podcast network, which we call the soon-to-be-named network, soon-to-be-named-network.com. It is a group of podcasts working together to bring you quality podcasting entertainment. You can check out a complete list of all our shows and archives at soon-to-be-named-network.com.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Spent.
I had it, but it's gone.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. Comment suggestions, get them to Ray. We always want to hear from you. If you got more team-up suggestions, he likes those a lot.
I do.
Click on our Amazon banner. Buy yourself a copy of The Villain. You'll never regret it. And that'll give us a little bit of love on the backside. But that's it. Goodbye for now. Remember, kids, Ian is useless. That is all. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night.